Welcome to Zichru Daf Siman Rav Avram Goldar, and today we're Zechus Yavamas Daf Beis. The first parak, Chamesh Esrei Nashim. The first parak has been generously sponsored as a schus for Mordechai Chaim Halevi ben Esther, and as a schus for a shidduch hagon for Leia bas Esther. May Hakadosh Baruch Hu continue to bench us with Hatzlacha as we now begin Seder Nashim. So the three daps we're going to focus on: number one, the opening mission of the Masechta states, Chamesh Esrei Nashim Potros Sarasen, Besaros Sarasen min Achlitz min Yibum. 15 women, which the Mishnah will identify as Arayos, exempt their co-wives and their co-wives of their co-wives from the chiyuv of chalitza or yibum. The Mishnah later explains that if a brother dies leaving a wife who is an erva to the living brother, then not only is the erva exempt from yibum or chalitza, but she exempts her co-wives, her tsaros, from yibum and chalitza as well. If a second brother was able to do yibum with one of the tsaros, since none of the wives were prohibited to him, and he then died, this tsari exempts her current tsaros from yibum and chalitza from the first living brother. The same rule applies to the tsaros of the tsara ad infinitum. Point number two, the Mishnah lists the 15 arayos of the Yavam who exempt their tsaros from yibum and chalitza. Bitobas, bitobas, bino, his daughter from out of wedlock, or his granddaughters from either his daughter or son from out of wedlock, bas ishto bas bina bas bita, his wife's daughter and his granddaughters from either his son or daughter, chamoso im chamoso im chamiv, his mother-in-law's mother or his father-in-law's mother, achoso mi imo, vachos ishto, his sister from his mother's sister and his wife's sister, eishas achiv mi imo, beishas achiv shaloye ba'omo, his maternal brother's wife, and the wife of his brother who died before he was born, Bechaloso, his daughter-in-law. And an easy way to remember this is 333-321. Three daughters or granddaughters from out of wedlock, three daughters or granddaughters from a marriage, three mother-in-laws, three sisters, two wives, one daughter-in-law. 333-321. And point number three, the Mishnah continues, V'chu animeso omianu oniskarshu onimsu aylanis sarosen mutaros. And regarding all these 15 women, if they died before he did, or was a minor and did miyun, terminating her marriage to the brother, or they were divorced from him at the time of his death, or were found to be on ilanis, so that the marriage was terminated before the husband died, their tsaros are permitted to do yibum or chalitza. So once again, the 3 points are: number one, the opening mission of the Masechta states, Chamesh Esrei Nashim, Potros Sarasen, Vesaros Sarasen, Min Chalitza Min Yibum. 15 women, which the Mishnah will identify as Arayos, exempt their co-wives and their co-wives of their co-wives from the chiyuv of chalitza or yibum. The Mishnah later explains that if a brother dies leaving a wife who is an erva to the living brother, then not only is the erva exempt from yibum or chalitza, but she exempts her co-wives, her tsaros, from yibum and chalitza as well. If a second brother was able to do yibum with one of the tsaros, since none of the wives were prohibited to him, and he then died, this tsara exempts her current tsaros from yibum and chalitza from the first living brother. The same rule applies to tsaros of the tsara ad infinitum. Point number two, the Mishnah lists the 15 arayos of the yavam who exempt their tsaros from yibum and chalitza. Bito bas mino, his daughter from out of wedlock, or his granddaughters from either his daughter or son from out of wedlock, bas ishto bas bina bas bita, his wife's daughter and his granddaughters from either his son or daughter, chamoso im chamiv, his mother-in-law's mother or his father-in-law's mother, achos imo, achos imo, achos ishto, his sister from his mother, his mother's sister and his wife's sister, eishas achiv mi imo, veishas achiv shaloye ba'omo, his maternal brother's wife and the wife of his brother who died before he was born, bechaloso, his daughter-in-law. And an easy way to remember this is 333-321. Three daughters or granddaughters from out of wedlock, three daughters or granddaughters from a marriage, three mother-in-laws, three sisters, two wives, one daughter-in-law. 333-321. And point number three, the Mishnah continues, V'chu anu meso mi anu niskarsho nimsa aylanis sarosen mutaros. And regarding all these 15 women, if they died before he did, or was a minor and did miyun terminating her marriage to the brother, or they were divorced from him at the time of his death, or were found to be an aylanis so that the marriage was terminated before the husband died, their tsaros are permitted to do yibum or chalitza. All right, so now we go to our simon for Daf Beis, and our standard simon is a bias, a house. So here goes. When the group of tsaros packed out of their deceased husband's house, since they were patur from yibum and chalitza, knowing that he had a wife who was one of the 15 arayos who exempt them, they were suddenly turned back when they were informed she had just passed away before his death. Once again, in slow motion. When the group of tsaros packed out of their deceased husband's house, that must mean we're on Daf Beis, bias. when the group of tzaros packed out of their deceased husband's house, since they were pater from Yibum and Chalitza, which reminds us, the Mishnah opens with the din of Chamish Esrei Nashim Potru Sarasen V'Sara Sarasen Mina Chalitza Mina Yibum, 15 women, which the Mishnah will identify as Arias, exempt their co-wives and their co-wives of their co-wives from the chiyuv of chalitza or yibum, and then goes on to explain how this works. So, when the group of tzaros packed out of their deceased husband's house, since they were pater from yibum and chalitza, knowing that he had a wife who was one of the 15 arayos who exempt them, which reminds us, the Mishnah lists the 15 arayos of the yavam who exempt their tzaros from yibum and chalitza, and we use the numbers 333321. Three daughters or granddaughters from out of wedlock, three daughters or granddaughters from a marriage, three mother-in-laws, three sisters, two wives, and one daughter-in-law. So, when the group of tzaros packed out of their deceased husband's house, since they were pater from Yibum and Chalitza, knowing that he had a wife who was one of the 15 arayos who exempt them, they were suddenly turned back when they were informed she had just passed away before his death. Which reminds us, the Mishnah continues, V'chu anim meisu me'anu anizkarsho animsu ailanis sarosen mutaros. And regarding all these 15 women, if they died before he did, or was a minor and did miyun terminating her marriage to the brother, or they were divorced from him at the time of his death, or were found to be in ailanis, so that the marriage was terminated before the husband died, their tzaros are permitted to do yibum or chalitza. So once again, when the group of tzaros packed out of their deceased husband's house, since they were pater from Yibum and Chalitza, knowing that he had a wife who was one of the 15 arayos who exempt them, they were suddenly turned back when they were informed she had just passed away before his death. All right, now it's time for four blot back chazar. Daf Chavdalad. So the Simon Daf Chavdalad is a pitcher, a kud. So here goes. As he watched a pitcher, that must be more on Daf Chavdalad, kud. As he watched a pitcher filled with kodesh meat that had become pasul as a revi'i, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Chaf Amud Beis stated a revi'i be kodesh pasul. A revi'i in the case of kodesh is pasul. It's not a braisa. Rabbi Yossi said, from where is it derived that a revi'i in the case of kodesh is pasul? It's a kal v'chomer. If even a mechusik kippurim, someone who has tovold and has waited until nightfall but still requires bringing a carbon, is permitted to eat truma, but is unfit to eat kodesh, then concerning a shlishi, which is unfit in the case of truma, all the more so it should create a revi'i in the case of kodesh. So, as he watched a pitcher filled with kodesh meat that had become pasul as a revi'i fall off a shelf and caught by a man with his one tame hand, which reminds us, the Mishnah stated that if one of a person's hands became tame, the other one is tahor. But with regard to kodesh, he must immerse both of them. Rav Shivzi said, they taught this halacha only when the hands are joined at the time that the second hand touches the kodesh. But where they are not joined, then the first hand does not make the second one tame. Abai challenged Rav Shivzi and demonstrates that the din applies even if the two hands are not in contact. So, as he watched a pitcher filled with kodesh meat that had become pasul as a revi'i fall off a shelf being caught by a man with one tummy hand, the mechusar kippurim rushed to the mikveh so that he'd be eligible to eat kodesh, which reminds us, the Mishnah stated, ha'onen and mechusar kippurim serichin tefillah kodesh of lola truma, an onen and a mechusar kippurim. One is immersed and reached nightfall, but has not yet brought his carbon, required tefillah for kodesh, but not for truma. The Gemara explains the reason that since until the time they were forbidden to eat kodesh, the rabbanan required them to do tefillah before eating the kodesh, meaning that there's a concern that since they were not permitted to eat kodesh, their attention to become tameh may also have been diverted. They're not required to immerse for truma, though, since they're permitted to eat truma as an onen, and mechusar kippurim. Daf Chaf Hei. So the Simon Daf Chaf Hei is a silver wedding anniversary. So here goes. The husband's silver anniversary plan, silver anniversary, that must mean we're in Daf Chaf Hei. The husband's silver anniversary plans fell apart when the wine you ordered from the Galil became Tameh, when it passed over the strip of Kusi land. Which reminds us that the Gemara explains that the Amei Aretz and Yehuda were trusted regarding the Tahara of Kodesh wine and oil throughout the year, and during the wine pressing season and all pressing season, they were also believed regarding the Tahara of Truma. But those in the Galil would not be able to bring their wine and oil to the base of Migdash, that's in Yehuda, for the Rabbanim were gozer on Eretz HaAmim, the land and the nations that it imparts Tumah to foods that are transported through it. This is because the Nachrim did not always mark their graves, which were then liable to be plowed over, resulting in strewn bone fragments. So, the husband's silver anniversary plans fell apart when the wine he ordered from the Galil became Tameh, when it passed over the strip of Kusi land. And the only way he could borrow some Truma wine from his Kohen friend, who improperly accepted it from an Amei Aretz, which reminds us, the Mishnah had taught that Amei Aretz are believed about the Har of Truma wine during the wine pressing season and oil pressing season. This is because during these times, Amei Aretz are careful to purify their kelim and themselves to ensure the tahara of the new truma. Now, if the seasons have passed, the Kohen Chaver is not permitted to accept the barrel of truma wine or oil from them. However, the Amei Aretz may set it aside until the next season and then give it to the Kohen then. Rav Sheshes was asked, if the Kohen accepted it from them, what is the din if the Kohen set it aside for the next pressing season? Rav Sheshet has attempted to bring a proof that he's not permitted to do so, but it's rejected. So the husband's silver and Arusi plans fell apart when the wine he ordered from the Galil became Tameh, when it passed over the strip of Kusi land. And the only way he could borrow some Truma wine from his Kohen friend who improperly accepted from an Amaretz was to go through and check a Beis HaPras, which reminds us. The Gemara brings a Mishnah in Oholos that states that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that we check a Beis HaPras for bone chips for people on the way to offer the Pesach, but we do not check it for those on their way to eat Truma. Rashi explains that in the case of Truma, since there's no fixed time for it to be eaten, the person can wait 7 days and do Hazah on the third and seventh day. The Gemara asks, if one checked the Beis HaPras in order to bring his Pesach, may he then eat his Truma based on this checking? And answers that just as in our Mishnah, we learned that if an Amaretz told a Chaver that he separated a quarter log of oil as Kodesh, he is trusted regarding the tahara of all the oil in the barrel. So too here, since he's trusted regarding the Pesach, he's trusted also regarding the Truma. Dav Chavav. So the Simur Dav Chavav is a military coup. So here goes. The soldier on his way to return some clay kalim he stole during the military coup. Military coup? That must mean we're in Dav Chavav. The soldier on his way to return some clay kalim he stole during the military coup because he did teshuvah, which reminds us, the Gemara resolves a contradiction between our mission, which states the tax collectors who enter into the house and similarly ganavim, who returned clay vessels they stole, are believed to say we didn't touch them. And the Mishnah from Tarzit states that if thieves entered the house, only the objects in the place where they walked are tameh, referring to the areas where items were definitely stolen. Now, if the kelim in the place that they walked are presumed tameh, then certainly the kelim they stole and returned are presumed tameh. Rabbi Pinchas said, in the name of Rava, Kusha Asid Tshuva, our Mishnah is dealing with the case where the thieves did tshuva. And Rashi explains that since they're returning the kelim as an act of tshuva, they certainly would not lie about the tumah status. So the soldier on his way to return some clay kalim he stole during the military coup, because he did teshuvah, bought some leftover dough that a baker was selling after the chag. Which reminds us, this malchus will come in Rabbi Yehuda, whether the merchants can sell leftover wine or dough from the regal that Amei Arts touched, the chamim hold, that even the Rabban suspend the tumah of Amei Arts concerning the chag. The Amei Arts are considered chaverim. After the regal, retroactively, the wine and dough become tameh due to their touching it, and chaverim are prohibited from selling it. Even though Rabbi Yehuda agrees that the wine and dough are tameh, he permits the sale of the leftovers after the regal. For if the merchants were not permitted to do so, they might be reluctant to sell during the chag, which would make it difficult for the olei regalim to get wine and dough during the regal. So the soldier on his way to return some clay kalim he stole during the military coup, because he did teshuvah, bought some leftover dough that a baker was selling after the chag, whose store sign depicted a shulchan lifted and displayed to the people with the tagline bread that makes you feel beloved. Which reminds us, the final mission of the Masechta details how the kelim in the base of Mikdash were purified after the regal. The Mishnah states, all through the chag, they would say to the Kohanim who are Amei Arts, be careful not to touch the Shulchan. The Gemara questions whether the Shulchan can become tameh at all, since it's a kli asui lenachasu, a wooden kli that's made to be stationary. And the din is that such kelim do not become tameh. The reason is that for a kli to be mekabel tumah, it must be similar to a sock. Just as a sock is carried malei v'reikam, full and empty, so too must any kli be carried full and empty. The Gemara answers that the Shulchan is carried full and empty for Reish Lakish Tad. The Shulchan would be lifted and breads displayed to the Olei Regalim, and the Kohanim would say, Ruchi see your belovedness before the omnipresent, for the bread at the time of the removal is hot and fresh as it was at the time of being placed on the Shulchan the previous Shabbos. So since we see the Shulchan was made to be carried while laden, it can be Mekabel Tumah from Amei Aretz. Dav Chav Zayin. So the Simur Dav Chav Zayin is a kazoo. So here goes. The Chagiga Kazoo Children's Band kazoo. That must be more in Dav Chav Zayin. The Chagiga Kazoo Children's Band gloriously blowing their kazoos at the Seder Moed Siyum, where guests sat at a table that looked like a Mizbeach, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a pasuk that begins with a reference to a Mizbeach and ends with a reference to the Shulchan and asks why the Shulchan is called the Mizbeach. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish both said, Bezman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayam Mizbeach Mechaper La'adam. During the time when the Beis HaMikdash stands, the Mizbeach would be Mechaper for a person. Achshav Shulchan Shel Adam Mechaper La'av. Now that there's no Beis HaMikdash, it's a person's Shulchan that's Mechaper for him. Rashi explains that one's table atones for him through Achnasas Orchim, inviting and feeding guests. So the Chagiga Kazoo Children's Band, gloriously blowing their kazoos at the Seder Moed Siyum, where guests sat at a table that looked like a Mizbeach and was plated with gold. Which reminds us that we learned in the Mishnah Daf Chavav Amud Beis that Rabbi Eliezer held that all the kelim in the Beis Mikdash required tevila after the regal, except for the Mizbach HaZahav and the Mizbach HaNechoshes, because they're like earth and are not Mekabel Tumah. The Chamim in the Mishnah say, Mifnei and Metzufim, because they are plated. The Gemara provides two explanations for what the Chamim are saying, one where they are disagreeing with Rabbi Eliezer, and one where they are actually agreeing with him. So the Chagiga Kazoo Children's Band gloriously blowing their kazoos at the Seder Moetzium, where guests sat at a table that looked like a Mizbeach and was plated with gold, watched fires leap up but not burn all the time the Chachamim and Jews filled with mitzvos who came together to celebrate. Which reminds us, Rav Yavoh said in the name of Elazar, Tamnei Chachamim ein or shel Gehenim shaletes behen. The fire of Gehenim does not rule over Tamnei Chachamim. It's a Kavah Chomer from the Salamandra, which Rashi explains is a beast created from a fire left burning for 7 years straight. Reish Lakish said, ein or shel Gehenim shaletes beposhei Yisrael, that the fires of Gehenim do not rule over sinners of Yisrael from a Kavah Chomer from the Mizbach HaZahav. For just as the Mizbach HaZahav is only a dinner's thickness of gold, yet the fire does not have power over it, then all the more so Poshe Yisrael, the sinners of Yisrael, Shemolein mitzvahs karimon, that are full of mitzvahs as the seeds of a pomegranate. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from previous Masechtas. Number 1. Which daf do we learn that a Revi in the case of Kodesh is Pasul, which is learned from a Kavah Chomer, from a Mechusar Kippurim, that's on daf? Chavdalad. Good, number 2. Which daf do you know that there are two pshatim of what the Chachamim meant when they said that the Mizbech HaZahav and Mizbech HaNechoshes are Metzupim, they're plated with gold, that's on daf? Chav Zayin. Good, number 3. Which daf do you know that there are 15 arayos that exempt their tsaros from Yibum or Chalitza, that's on daf? Beis and Yibamos. Good, number 4. Which daf of Malchus Chachamim Rav Yehuda whether merchants can sell leftover wine or dough that the Ami Arts had touched during the regal? That's on daf. Chavav. Good, number 5. Which of the one that the fire of Gehenna is not sholeit on Tamil Chachamim, nor is it sholeit on Poshi Yisrael, who are filled with mitzvahs like a rimon? That's on daf. Chav Zayin. Good, number 6. Which daf does the Mishnah list the 15 arayos? That's on daf. Basin Yavamos. Good, number 7. Which of the women in Onin and Mechusar Kippurim required tefillah for Kodesh since they were not permitted to eat Kodesh, their attention to becoming tummy might have also been diverted. That's on daf. Chavdalad. Good, number 8. Which of the women, if one checked a base of pras in order to bring a Pesach, he may rely on it to eat his truma. That's on daf. Chavhei. Good, number 9. Which stuff do you learn that the Shulchan was lifted up and the bread shown to the people to demonstrate how beloved they are? That's on daf. Chavav. Good. And number 10. Which daf did we learn that there are 4 cases when an erva does not exempt her tsar, such as in the case where she died before her husband's death? That's on daf. Beis and Yavamos. Excellent. Now the 3 bonus questions. Number 1. Which daf did we learn that Kodesh Baruch Hu sends the refuah before the makkah? That's on daf. Good, Gimel and Megillah. Good, number 2. Which daf did we learn that Shadim are like the Malchei Asharis in 3 ways and like humans in 3 ways? That's on daf. Tezayin and Chagiga. Good. And number 3. Which daf do we learn that one should not inform a chola that a close relative has passed away? That's on daf. Chavav and Mod Katan. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zich wishing you a great day and great learning.